Musicians love their tools. That's why there's a cult around Steinway grands. It's why B.B. King calls his guitar Lucille. And it's why, for years, no rock musician would ever be far from a wah-wah pedal. The wah, as it's called, is a little smaller than your foot, and it does one simple thing very well. Dominic Alley tells us how the tiny wah changed popular music.
You're listening to me play my electric guitar through a wah-wah pedal. I love this sound, not just for its funkiness, but for its history. The wah-wah did a tour of duty in Vietnam, dropped LSD at Woodstock, and hung out with Jimi Hendrix. It made John Travolta a star. You may have even lost your virginity to the sound of the wah. So what is this miraculous invention, and where does it come from? I asked Art Thompson. He wrote the book Stompbox, a history of guitar fuzzes, flangers, phasers, echoes, and wahs.
In the mid-60s, there was a guy named Brad Plunkett who had been signed a task at the Thomas Organ Company, which had taken over the design and manufacture of Vox amplifiers. And in doing so, he came up with this circuit that produced this effect. It's what became the wah-wah.
Vox's fabulous new wah-wah pedal opens the door to a variety of great new sounds. Here's how it operates. The guitar plugs into the wah-wah pedal with a standard chord. Then the pedal plugs into the amp with another chord. The entire foot goes on the pedal. When the foot is rocked forward, the guitar sound becomes sharp. As the foot is rocked back, the sound becomes mellow. By rocking the foot back and forth, we get the wah-wah effect.
Like hairstyles and clothes, different musical effects come and go out of fashion. An effect that defines pop music in one era sounds totally cheesy a few years later. But the wah-wah pedal remains a timeless classic. For musicians, it's the equivalent of the little black dress. The pedal's popularity is no surprise. We've always loved the sound. British trumpeter Clyde McCoy used a mute to create this sound back in 1931. The earliest wah-wah pedals even featured his picture. For wah connoisseurs, these Clyde McCoy pedals are like Fabergé eggs. Jimmy Page, Jeff Beck, and Eric Clapton plugged into the pedal early on, but it was Jimi Hendrix who immortalized the wah. The wah-wah is a musical chameleon. It's appeared in tie-dye at Woodstock and sported a leather jacket in Harlem. It's the sound of blaxploitation movies like Shaft and Superfly. In the 1970s, there was no stopping the wah-wah. It was behind everything. TV themes, movie soundtracks, even commercials. You couldn't play a rock gig without it. It had a magical power over its listeners. Randy Bachman of the Guess Who found out the hard way in front of 30,000 people.
And a guy comes to the front of the stage, unplugs both cords, puts it under his jacket, walks out of the room. I am dead silent. There's no way you can put a guitar chord into a guitar chord. And I'm motioning to my roadie, like, get over here. And he's saying, what's wrong? What's wrong? And he looks down, and there's no way he could put the two male jacks together.
Back then, a musician would stand by his wah, even if it meant physical danger.
The whole spotlight is on me because I'm playing all these riffs alone. I'm using a wah-wah. I'm wearing white pants. And flying out of the audience comes a full-sized drink carton full of mustard, and it hits me right above the knee. It looks like stuff from a baby's diaper. It's from the hot dog stand, right? And it runs down my leg. So I'm going to be cool and not run off stage. I'm going to sit there and finish my solo. And I'm wearing leather shoes, which have nails in them, in the soles. And as the mustard gets down into my shoes. I start getting shocks because the mustard is wet through the wah-wah pedal, right?
While Bianca, Andy, and Halston danced under the mirror ball at Studio 54, the wah-wah worked overtime. Tragically, it was not to last. The 80s will forever be known as the decade without wah. Electronic drums, synthesizers, and sophisticated guitar effects had taken over. The wah-wah was about as cool as polyester bell bottoms at a Devo concert. The once mighty pedal was now relegated to pawn shops and flea markets. Some manufacturers stopped making them, while others went out of business altogether. It looked as if the wah was headed for the big Radio Shack in the sky. During its retirement, the wah was used from time to time, mostly by nostalgic headbangers. But this little, lost tool had an unlikely savior, the hip-hop DJ. Can I get a witness? Yo, Griff, move the ass with that on the judge and the jury. Hold him hostage. Time for Terminator X to step in and show him that he's in effect, boy. Yeah. By sampling old funk, pioneering hip-hoppers put the wah back in the spotlight. Innovative musicians are still using the wah as part of their audio collages. Roger Salveson is a pop music producer in Vancouver, Canada.
Yeah, lots of DJs hooking up their turntables to the wah-wah and actually scratching and getting really cool effects by listening to that through the wah-wah. It sounds good. Yeah, most modern synthesizers will imitate a wah-wah sound. In fact, you know, most new synthesizers you can buy today, you know, have a built-in effect called wah-wah.
This all brings us to the 21st century. Is there room for the humble wah-wah in a postmodern pop music landscape? Art Thompson, senior editor of Guitar Player magazine.
There's something so inherently humanistic about it that I think people will always like it. There's something just very kind of pleasing and physical about it. It's something that you work rhythmically with your body while you're playing, and those effects seem to have great staying power, and I don't see those ever going away. They're just part of the guitar player's bag of tricks.
Do you think the wah-wah says anything about sort of the human condition?
When it was invented, they likened it to the sound of a baby crying, and maybe there's something, you know, sort of etched in our DNA code about that.
For Studio 360, I'm Dominic Alley in Vancouver, Canada.